Lesson 20. Section 1. Task 1. Fixing an appointment.
Well, it looks to me as if we shall have to fit him in somewhere. What does Monday morning look like?
Well, Monday morning's extremely busy. You've got all the shortlist interviews.
Oh, goodness. And how long do they go on for?
Well, the last one is due to come at 10 o'clock, and we'll probably go on through until 10:30.
And then?
Then you've got your Japanese agent, and you did tell him you'd probably take him out to lunch.
Yes, well, I can't pass that up. What does Tuesday morning look like?
Tuesday morning is also very full. You've got a committee meeting, starts at 9:30. It probably won't finish until 12:30.
Uh-huh. And lunch?
Lunch is with your publisher.
Oh, yeah, and I do remember that I've got something in the afternoon from the examining board, haven't I? I've got...
Yes, at 2:30 you're expecting the chief examiner regarding the review report.
Oh, yes. And I've got somebody's parents coming.
Yes, at 4 o'clock, Johan Blum's parents are coming.
And isn't there a meeting, principal's meeting after? Anyway, he didn't want to be that late. Well, let's have a look at Monday afternoon. What have we got then?
Well, the lunch with the Japanese agent is probably likely to last until 2:30.
Mm-hmm.
At 2:30, you've got the lawyer regarding the planning permission.
Yeah. And?
Well, at 3:30, there's a tutorial with Maria Rosa.
Oh, well, hang on. Look, what we can do, if you could give the lawyer a ring and ask him if he can fix it, the appointment for Wednesday, and if he can't make Wednesday later in the week, it's not absolutely vital that I should do it then. And give Maria Rosa a ring also, if you can contact her, otherwise you can tell her when she arrives. And I can definitely give her... I've got Wednesday clear, haven't I? So
yes.
I can give her a tutorial on Wednesday morning.
Yes.
And that gives us 2 hours. So you could ring the cultural council and fix it for them. His name's Mr. Dennis, I think, isn't it?
Yes, so I'll ring him and tell him you're expecting him at 2:30 on Monday afternoon.
Okay, then.
Fine, thank you.
Task 2. Last of the airships.
At 7:20 p.m. on May the 6th, 1937, the world's largest airship, the Hindenburg, floated majestically over Lakehurst Airport, New Jersey, after an uneventful crossing from Frankfurt, Germany. There were 97 people on board for the first Atlantic crossing of the season. There were a number of journalists waiting to greet it. Suddenly, radio listeners heard the commentator screaming, "Oh, my God! It's broken into flames! It's flashing! Flashing! It's flashing terribly!" 32 seconds later, the airship had disintegrated and 35 people were dead. The age of the airship was over. The Hindenburg was the last in a series of airships which had been developed over 40 years in both Europe and the United States. They were designed to carry passengers and cargo over long distances. The Hindenburg could carry 50 passengers accommodated in 25 luxury cabins with all the amenities of a first-class hotel. All the cabins had hot and cold water and electric heating. There was a dining room, a bar, and a lounge with a dance floor and a baby grand piano. The Hindenburg had been built to compete with the great luxury transatlantic liners. It was 245 meters long, with a diameter of 41 meters. It could cruise at a speed of 125 kilometers per hour and was able to cross the Atlantic in less than half the time of a liner. By 1937, it had carried 1,000 passengers safely and had even transported circus animals and cars. Its sister ship, the Graf Zeppelin, had flown 1.5 million kilometers and it had carried 13,100 passengers without incident. The Hindenburg was filled with hydrogen, which is a highly flammable gas, and every safety precaution had been taken to prevent accidents. It had a smoking room, which was pressurized in order to prevent gas from ever entering it. The cigarette lighters were chained to the tables, and both passengers and crew were searched for matches before entering the ship. Special materials, which were used in the construction of the airship, had been chosen to minimize the possibility of accidental sparks, which might cause an explosion. Nobody knows the exact cause of the Hindenburg disaster. Sabotage has been suggested, but experts at the time believed that it was caused by leaking gas, which was ignited by static electricity. It had been waiting to land for 3 hours because of heavy thunderstorms. The explosion happened just as the first mooring rope, which was wet, touched the ground. Observers saw the first flames appear near the tail, and they began to spread quickly along the hull. There were a number of flashes as the hydrogen-filled compartments exploded. The airship sank to the ground. The most surprising thing is that 62 people managed to escape. The fatalities were highest among the crew, many of whom were working deep inside the airship. After the Hindenburg disaster, all airships were grounded, and until recently, they have never been seriously considered as a commercial proposition.
Section 2.